Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message. I remember back when I was in high school, probably grade 11, I felt like I had everything figured out. You know, life was going well, and I knew where I was going in life, unlike a lot of grade 11s who were panicking about what am I going to do. You know, I already knew the school that I was going to be applying for. I already knew the career that I was going to be going into. I wanted to be a lawyer. In fact, I wanted to be in corporate law because that's where the money is. That's where the power is, the prestige, all of that. And so that's what I wanted to go into. And I felt confident in all the things I wanted to do. In fact, I had even, my dad, who owns a business in the Fraser Valley, had introduced me to someone who was the head of one of the law firms in Vancouver, and they had agreed that in my first year of university that they would allow me to have an internship there. And then, in one chapel on Wednesday morning, there I was sitting down, and as they did many years then, the leaders would stand up at the front and they'd tell us about that year's missions trip to a country called Peru. And as I sat there and I heard them talking about this country and these things that we could do and how we could minister to these people in Peru, I remember myself thinking, well, that's not for me. It doesn't make sense. Why would I want to go something like that? I've got my life figured out. Why would I ever want to leave the comfort of my home, the comfort of my plans, to go somewhere like that? After all, it's just another place on the earth. It's just going to be the same anyway. And I remember as I was thinking that, thinking this thing isn't for me, I had this sense that wouldn't go away in my gut that, no, you need to go on that thing. And I wrestled with it. But eventually, you know, as those things go, you can't ignore that feeling. And so thus began a while of fundraising over the course of that year, of preparing to go on this trip. And as we approached the trip, we looked at the funds that had come in for my trip, and I had the exact amount that I was supposed to have, minus, I think, a dollar for the trip. And so I took that as a sign that I still couldn't get out of it. We went on the trip, 3 weeks away from family, from friends. Over the course of that 3 weeks, my grandfather, who was a hero of mine, who had been struggling with cancer, actually passed away, and I missed his funeral for this thing. Then I came home. And I distinctly remember on the drive home from the airport, in the back of my parents' vehicle, suddenly getting hit by this realization that God didn't want me to be a lawyer, that God had something else for me, that he wanted me to go in a different direction. In fact, I remember the words that I said were something to this effect, "Stupid. I think God wants me to go into the ministry." I got a chuckle from my parents. Now, you'd think that when events like this happen, that you would just jump right on board and you'd say, obviously, God has a plan here, and I'm going to get in line, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do, and I'm just going to push my pride out of the way and charge ahead on this thing, right? That's what everybody would do. Whether or not it is, I don't know, but it's not what I did. Over the course of that year, I fought. And are you sure, God? Like, are you real? Do you understand what you're talking about here? Like this is the polar opposite of what I want to do. And still, I things would happen, and they would confirm to me that this is what I was supposed to do. And so finally, after a year, that was the time when I laid down my own purposes, when I laid down my own fears of the future, and I submitted myself to King Jesus' purpose for my life. And came to a place where I was willing to trust that he could do whatever it was he was going to do through me the way that he said that he would, the way that he wanted to. These moments happen in varying degrees at various moments of all of our lives. That's what I believe. So you may have one large event that you would call your call into ministry or your call into your vocation or your call to a deeper relationship with Jesus. But at the same time, you will find that there are little calls. And in fact, some of us never have a big call. We just have a series of little calls where we feel guided in this direction, or we might feel a sense that we're supposed to go this way. And I think that for most of us, when we get that kind of sense, that kind of call, it's not the easiest thing. I mean, after all, we wouldn't really consider it that much of a call if we didn't have to wrestle with it. We'd just say, oh, I feel blessed to do this. Usually there's something that shakes us to our core when we get something like this. I mean, most of us, when we get a call like this, we think, well, God, you know, I'm not, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that person down there, they're way more talented in that area than I am. They have way more giftings in that area. They're better. Why are you coming to me? Or we'll look at the things that we want in our life and we'll say, Jesus, how come you didn't let those things happen? That's the plan that I had. That's what was supposed to go on. Or maybe it is that you're thinking, God, I'm too big for this. You know, we talk a lot about people that think that they're too small for what God has, but how often do we come and, God, I'm bigger than that. You want me just to do, give me more. Come on. I want to see success like there's success in other people's eyes. But we all have to come to that point where we lay aside those things, don't we? See, at the end of the day, no matter what your purpose for yourself is, Jesus has a purpose in mind for you. No matter what you think, even if it seems like he's quiet for such a long time, you need to know that he's working out a purpose in you, as frustrating as it can be. This time of year, the Christmas season, we have the privilege of talking about Jesus. Jesus' birth, the King who was coming, the King who is still coming. And the amazing thing about this time of year isn't that a baby was born. It's not really so much that. What is amazing about this time of year is that God humbled himself. That God himself came to earth, born as flesh. That he lived a life among us, and that when he was way too young, he died on a Roman cross. And then 3 days later, rose again, victorious over sin and death. See, he didn't do that just because. We don't celebrate Christmas and Easter and all of these things just because we're some kind of masochistic kind of people who just want to see people die or anything like that. It is not because we love to tell this story about some random baby that was born in a manger. It's because this has actual life application and implication for each one of us. It's because of this that we can have life. See, we were supposed to have a life-giving relationship with God. He created us for relationship. But we reject him. We throw him to the side. We ignore the things that he said. Our King, our God, our Creator, we ignore him. We slight him. And so he sought reconciliation by saying, you know what, you wronged me, but instead of requiring you to be wronged, I'm going to take what you should take on yourself upon me so that this relationship can be made right again. And then I'm not going to stay dead, but I'm going to rise again. And you see, I'm going to take the victory over death, over lifelessness in my hands, so that you can have victory over death too. And what's amazing about this thing is as we talked about last week, this isn't something that's just in the future. It's something that's here now as well. The kingdom has come to earth, and the kingdom is coming. And so we look at Mary, this young girl. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we see a story begin to unfold. If you've got your Bibles here with you today, you can turn there, Luke chapter 1, or if you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, go ahead, hit events, tap our church's name, and you can follow along with everything we're talking about today, plus more. We're also going to read this together, and it'll be on the screen behind me if you wish to follow along that way. But let's read about Mary as she received a call from God. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Will you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the fact that you do call us, that you do place a burden on our hearts for the things that you want to accomplish. I thank you for this season where we can remember this story, that God came to earth. And Lord, today I do ask that your Spirit will be speaking to each and every one of us, that you will be impressing on our hearts the things that we need to learn, the things that we need to begin to do, Lord Jesus, in response to you and the grace that you've shown us. Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you will make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine for a moment what this must have been like for Mary. Here's Mary, and in that day and time, what we know is she was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 13 years old. That's how early people got married in that day and age. Reason being, they didn't live long. So there's this 12-year-old, this 13-year-old girl, probably going about doing some chores for the household, when all of a sudden there's this angel. This angel speaking to her and saying, you are so highly favored. You're so lucky that this is going to happen to you. And you can imagine her thoughts as she thought to herself, well, I'm nobody. I'm average. I'm in a backwater village, in a backwater city in Israel. Hey, who am I? In fact, to most people looking at her, she wasn't somebody you'd even given a second glance to. To many of the more powerful people in that society, she was someone to be spat upon, trampled over, nothing. And yet we see that the angel appeared to her. What's also interesting is the way that Mary responded. You see, as Mary was told about what was going to happen, told that she as a virgin would be having a child, you need to understand the significance of that in that time, beyond the obvious. In that day and age, if a girl that was betrothed to someone else became pregnant before they were married, then the only way that their future could be anything was if they weren't divorced by their husband-to-be. If they were, their family would reject them. If they were, they would likely never be able to be married to anyone because they would be soiled. They would be an adulteress in people's minds. Someone who's no longer pure or worthy. And what that would mean for someone like her, for a female in that day and age, would be that she would live a life either of begging on the street or of prostitution. So there's Mary, 12 or 13 years old. Angel appears to her, says, "You're going to have a child." And what does she do? Friends, what we see here is that Mary submitted herself to God. She trusted him, and she allowed him to enable her to accomplish the purpose that he had for her. She said, "Your will be done. May it be to me as you have said." Would we be able to do something like this ourselves? Would we be willing to do this? The bottom line today is trust that King Jesus can do what he is going to do through you. You need to trust that King Jesus can do what he is going to do through you. You don't need to doubt it. You don't need to fight it. You just need to trust. He's got things to do through you. And you may not always believe it, and you might say, "Well, you know, I could trust that, but you don't understand how small I am. You don't understand how it doesn't really seem like he could do this. I'm not good enough. I'm not useful enough." But what we need to understand is that God's ability to use you is not dependent on how useful you think you are. God's ability to use you is not dependent on how useful you think that you are. Doesn't matter if you think that you're the greatest or that you're the littlest, God's ability to use you, that doesn't factor in. Look at that word, highly favored. Highly favored. Many of us, we look at that and we say, "Well, of course, you know, God chose Mary. She's highly favored. There must be something great about her. I mean, this is one special woman for an angel to show up." You are highly favored by God. You are an amazing, amazing person, and you should be proud of how awesome you are. That's the sense that we get when we see highly favored, right? This person is amazing. And yet what he actually meant when he was saying this is that she had received God's grace. Highly favored means not that she had done something to make it so God said, "You know what? You're the one." Not that she was so great that God said, "Oh, I can't pass up the opportunity to use you. That would just be a waste." No, it means that God had grace on her. That God's grace made her highly favored. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 verse 6 wrote, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." That phrase, "freely given," is the Greek word, I'm going to butcher this, keratuo, and it is the same word that is translated highly favored in Luke. Okay, so freely given. Mary, you are freely given. You are the one that is highly favored. You have been given by God the grace to be a part of his plan. See, it's not about you. It's not about how awesome you are. But what he does is he says, no, you realistically don't matter. If you humble yourself, I'm going to do the work. You don't have to build yourself up to this magnificent level before I'm willing to use you. I'm going to use you now. Right now. And so what we see is that grace came to earth for Mary. And then grace came to the whole earth through the child that she bore. See, God humbled himself to save mankind. He asked that we as human beings humble ourselves and recognize that he can lift us up. He can lift us up. Because it's through him that we receive grace. It's through him that we receive favor. It's not through us. nothing you do can receive grace, but it is by the grace freely given to you that when you believe, when you give yourself to Christ, you are forgiven and you are adopted as a child of God. See, the magnificent fact is that as you trust that King Jesus can do what he's going to do through you, you will find that Jesus makes what you think is impossible, possible. What you think is impossible will suddenly be possible through Jesus. Listen to what writer Doug Larson once wrote. Some of the world's greatest feats were accomplished by people not smart enough to know they were impossible. I'm going to read that again just because it's so profound. Some of the world's greatest feats were accomplished by people not smart enough to know they were impossible. See, sometimes we think that we know what can be done. And so when Jesus says, hey, so this is what my plan is for you, we're like, what? Don't you know that's impossible? You know, us smart people, we're the ones who look and say, you know what? No, it's impossible. Like anyone with half a brain knows that an 88-year-old barren woman like Elizabeth should not be able to have a baby. And even more, I mean, for sure, a young virgin girl cannot possibly get pregnant without ever having sex. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, if you think that can happen, you're stupid. It's impossible. And Jesus says, no, you're stupid. It is possible. Jesus makes what you think is impossible, possible. He's not interested in what the smart people say is possible. He's interested in what he's going to do through you and in whether or not you're going to trust that King Jesus can do what he's going to do through you. Will you trust him? Will you bring that trust? And that trust is going to require, as I kind of mentioned earlier, that you're going to have to humble yourself before King Jesus. You're going to have to lower yourself. Now, I told you about my call into ministry there, and Jesus saying, no, you're not going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a pastor. There was a lot of humbling that had to go on at that moment. There was a lot of humbling. But God, don't you know, like that's difficult. That's a different direct. That's not the way that I had things set up, God. You're messing up my life. Don't do this. And you see, I wrestled with that for that year until I finally came to a point of saying, okay, I'm your servant. May what you have said actually happen. May your word come true. You have to humble yourself before King Jesus. Mary's response to God's call was, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. She didn't say, are you kidding me? Do you know what's going to happen if this doesn't work out? Do you understand this? Like, you know how you created us and how babies work, right, God? No, she said, okay. It's going to mess up what I thought my life was going to be, but I'm your servant. I trust you. See, what I am asking you to do is to answer this question. Will you humble yourself today and trust that King Jesus can do what he is going to do through you? See, as we close this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to join me in beginning to discover your purpose and how each of us can live as members of the kingdom of God here on earth. Perhaps you're like me and you're not very excited about what you felt that God is leading you into. And I don't know what each of you, what you're looking at right now and where you're standing, where you're wrestling with God. But let me tell you that when I look back and I see the person that I could have been versus the person that I am now, I am so thankful that I chose the way that I did. When I think about the person that I would have been and the future that I would have had I ignored God, frankly, it scares me. It scares me. And so I give thanks that I was able to trust that God could do what he was going to do through me. And I encourage you that whatever you feel like he's telling you that you need to do, that he's going to do through you, that you will trust him in that you will humble yourself and that you will go forward in that. And see, if you're ready to join with me and say, you know what, I'm going to be someone who recognizes that Jesus is king. I love to talk about Jesus as Savior. You know, pray a prayer, get a jail free card. But Jesus is king means that I can't be king of my life anymore. Or should I say, I can't pretend that I'm in charge of my life anymore. Because none of us is ever in charge of our life. It's just a matter of who is in charge, and it's never you. It's never any of us. And so if you're ready to start doing this, if you're ready to start saying, I am a servant of the king, here's three action steps for the week. Three things that I want you to begin doing even in your seat at this moment. Number one, remember that God makes you worthy. You don't make yourself worthy. Wherever you're at in life, even if you feel like you're the smallest person ever, understand that you don't make you worthy. God makes you worthy. If you think that you're the biggest hot shot in the world, understand that you should get a kick in the pants because you don't make you worthy. God makes you worthy. And the Bible's very clear that pride comes before destruction. I don't like that word. Number two, humble yourself before King Jesus and accept the call when it comes. It's easy to fight the call if we think that we're more than we actually are when the call comes to us. Sometimes it's actually difficult to accept the call when we've been waiting a long time for that call. And it seemed like it hasn't been coming. And so we've come to this place where we feel like we are in control because, my goodness, I mean, God's not telling us what to do. Nothing is working out for us. So where else are we supposed to go? What else are we supposed to do? So humble yourself before King Jesus and accept the call when it comes. Number three, no matter what you think of yourself, remember that God can use people like you. No matter what you think of yourself, remember that God can use people like you. Will you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Lord, it's at these moments coming to an end of a message like this one that, God, I find myself at a loss for words. We just prayed about humility and the very fact that we as your servants can at any time stand before you and begin to speak to you and that you listen is honestly such a humbling thing. That you would have the grace on us to allow us to do such a thing. Lord, today I ask that you will help us to recognize the worth that we have because of you. Lord, that we won't hold back on the things that you've been calling us into, whether it's giving our lives to you or whether it's taking that next step of faith or that next step into that new career, next step into that new place, whatever it is, Lord God. Help us to have faith and to trust that you can use us. Trust that we're exactly who you need us to be for the moment that we're in right now, as you make us for who you need us to be in the future. So Lord, today I ask that none of us will forget these things that we've learned, that none of us will forget who we are in you, but that we will have it firmly rooted in our souls. And so we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.